Thank you, Pastor David. Thank you, worship team, for just preparing our hearts to receive God's word, his anointed word. It's a pleasure to be in God's house, and it's great and exciting. God's already stirring our hearts. Amen. You know, for the last several weeks here at Real Life Church, there's been a particular key word that's been buzzing around week after week, bubbling in our spirits. Pastor Bethwyn, what might that keyword be?
Spectacular.
I think 4 weeks ago, Pastor Bethwyn preached a message entitled Spectacular Mistakes, not knowing that this would launch a series of messages called the Spectacular Series. You know, at Spectacular Mistakes, we looked at people in the Bible who really made a mess of things. People who may have considered themselves a write-off in God's books. But God touched their lives. God touched and transformed their lives. He reached out. Despite their imperfections, God perfected his purpose in their lives. And we saw how God worked with spectacular mistakes. The week that followed, Pastor David preached about the spectacular Savior. You know, I've never heard, Pastor David, a sermon from Genesis all the way through Revelation, book after book, in a whopping 25 minutes, where Jesus was glorified and magnified in every book of the Bible. Spectacular mistakes, spectacular Savior, and then spectacular pregnancy. Impregnating ourselves with the Word of God. Come on. Well, this morning, there is a Word that's impregnated and ready to come forth. And I'd like to bring to you a Word from the Lord called the Spectacular Message. The Spectacular Message. You know, you might say, Regan, the Spectacular Message has got to be that Jesus died on the cross. And that he rose again the third day. And that in him we are saved. And you wouldn't be wrong. That is a super spectacular message. But you know, when Jesus was on that cross, and when he said, "It is finished," what did he really mean? What did Jesus really mean when he said, "It is finished"? Jesus' mission on earth, his ultimate mission, to go down that road of suffering and to die on the cross. That spectacular story was finished, but another spectacular story was just starting. Your spectacular story, your spectacular miracle that the Lord has for you only started that day. The day Jesus died on the cross, that was your platform for God to write his spectacular message, his spectacular story in your life and in my life. What happened on the cross, the finished work of the cross, was just the platform for you to thrive in 2020 in COVID-19. Well, this morning, the spectacular message from the Lord brings to you three spectacular invitations, three spectacular encounters, three spectacular miracles for you to encounter this morning. Well, the first spectacular invitation from the Lord is simply this: walk through the door. Walk through the door. You know, as the first worship song, and there was a lot of new worship songs that are today, and it was awesome. Thank you, worship team. But the first worship song was such a confirmation, which said, one of the words said something like this: your door is an open door to freedom. And today we're going to talk about the door. You know, God has many names. Jesus has many names. In fact, he has many metaphors in the Bible. He's called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the Light of the World. But in John chapter 10, Jesus calls himself in verse 7, "Assuredly, I say to you that I am the door of the sheep." Jesus is the door. He's not the doormat. He's the door. He's the door. You know, some doors lead into dark corridors, dark alleys, doom, destruction, and even death. But this door, this Jesus door, this door leads to life. It leads to purpose. It leads to peace. It leads to hope. It leads to a spectacular miracle. You know, in the story, the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. Yes. Written by C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest thinkers and writers. He talks about four children. What are their names? Peter. Yes, Haley. Susan. And Lucy. Four children. They walk through a door. They walk through a door. And as they open that door, or that closet, they enter into the kingdom of Narnia. When you walk through this door, you will enter into the kingdom of God. You know, C.S. Lewis intentionally chose children to walk through that door because Jesus said, if you are going to walk through that door, into the door, you need to have faith like a child. You don't need to be a child, but you need to have faith like a child. Well, I'd like to talk to you about three characteristics about the door. First, the first characteristic about the door is that the door opens to faith. The door opens to faith. Well, what does this key of faith look like? Well, this key of faith simply believes. It's not just believing, but it's what you believe in. The key of faith believes that Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. The Son of God, the Son of Man. He died. He had no reason to die. For death is the penalty, the punishment, and the verdict for sin. But Jesus was perfect. He was pure. He was holy. But he died for your sins and for mine. And when he was on that cross, he shouted, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" For Jesus carried the weight of the sins of this whole world. And even God Almighty at that moment turned away. But sin could not hold him. Death could not entrap him. For he is the resurrection and the life. And on the third day, he rose again. If you believe, Jesus, God himself, died for you on the cross, you will be saved. Imagine with me a courtroom, not the Supreme Court of Perth, but the Supreme Court in the heavenlies. The highest of judges resides, God Almighty. And you are on trial for the offenses of all your sins. An account is made, sin after sin. The judge, God Almighty, takes his golden hammer and he hits the table and he says, "This session is adjourned." The judge leaves the courtroom. He takes his cloak off. He enters the kingdom of earth. Now he enters as the Son of Man, the Son of God. He enters the earth as your advocate, not as your judge. He enters the earth as your lawyer. He fights your case. He pleads your case all the way to Calvary. He dies for your sins. He rises again. When his mission on earth is done, he returns to heaven. He resides now as the judge. The session is resumed. The final verdict is about to be announced. And God Almighty says, those who believe and accept the gift of God, they are saved because their payment has been made in full and is complete. But those who reject the gift of God are condemned already. My friend, this door opens to faith. Do you have the key of faith? This door not only opens to faith, but this door leads to pastures. This door leads to pastures. In John chapter 9, in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. This door opens to faith, and this door leads to pastures. Let me first tell you what the pastures are not. The pastures are not that you'll be financially secure. The pastures are not a promise to be rich. There were people in the Bible who were rich. Solomon had great riches. Job was rich. Abraham was prosperous. Joseph was the second most powerful man in Egypt. But that was their spectacular story. That was their spectacular moment. God wants to write his own spectacular story in your life. You know, when Jesus prayed and taught us to pray, he said, give us this day our daily luxuries. No, give us this day our daily bread. Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has many investment properties. No, the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. The pastures of God have peace, have purpose, have hope, have satisfaction, and make you full and complete. This door opens to faith. This door leads to pastures. And this door, and some of us might struggle with this, but this door is narrow. This door is narrow. Jesus describes a gate in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. And Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. This gate is narrow. This road is narrow. And this door is narrow. You know why? Because truth is narrow. Truth is narrow. Truth by nature is exclusive. And Jesus said, I am the only way. I am the only truth. And I am the only life. Perhaps in Jesus' time, it was common to believe all roads lead to Rome. Perhaps all roads did lead to Rome. Rome was the center of the universe at that time. But my friends, all roads do not lead to heaven. All roads do not lead to God. If you were to call on the name of Allah, would that take you to heaven? If you were to walk down the road of Buddha, would that get you to heaven? Only the spectacular name of Jesus will take you to heaven. Truth is narrow. You cannot have 10 conflicting statements and they all be true at the same time. You know, Christianity is different from every worldview, every faith system, in many ways, but can I just mention two? Firstly, Christianity is the only faith system, the only truth that promises and offers a real solution to the problem of sin. There is no other faith system, there is no other belief that I've seen and heard that has come up with a solution, a real solution, real life church, for a real problem of sin and death. Christianity alone offers the truth of God's grace. God's grace is God doing for you what you cannot do for yourselves. God did that on the cross of Calvary. If I was to die on the cross for my sins, I'd still stay dead because I cannot do what I need to do for myself. But that grace of God on that cross of Calvary extends from, and God still pours and showers his grace. God this morning wants us to not only know the story of the finished work of the cross, but he wants us to encounter it. And God wants to release his rescue plan, his redemption plan into our lives. This door opens to faith. This door leads to pastures. This door is narrow. But God has another encounter for you. God invites you to a second encounter with you. He wants you to not only walk through that door, but he wants you to dine at his table. He wants you to dine at his table. Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." God wants you to walk through that door. God wants you to also dine at his table. I'd like to leave with you three characteristics about this table that I learned. This table is a table of great preparation. There is great preparation in this table. You know, the word preparation carries the idea that God wants to set things in order. He furnishes this table. He does so purposefully, masterfully, and providentially. This table is set out, is prepared in a spectacular way. God is not just preparing a table. It's a picture that he is preparing you to be all that you need to be in his kingdom. God is not just preparing a table. He's preparing you to be all that you need to be in his kingdom. You know, part of that preparation is what I call, and I might lose you, but I'll explain. This is a table not only of preparation, but this is a table, and this is a cool discovery. This is a table of great coronation. And you'll be like, "Regan, what in the world is a coronation?" Well, because I watched the movie Frozen with my kids, I know what coronation is all about. Coronation is when someone receives a royal standing, such as a king or a queen. When someone is given royal status, there is a coronation day. I'm not going to sing the song, but there is a coronation day. And Jesus is the King of Kings. And in this table, he wants to impart his royalty on you. He wants you to be a child of the King of Kings. He wants you to be a prince in his kingdom. Now, how in the world did I come to this conclusion? In this verse, Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, "You anoint my head with oil." Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit, a gift of God. And may there be a working of the Holy Spirit this morning. But let's look at anointing in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, kings, before they were made kings, before they went into service, were often anointed with oil by prophets. They were anointed before service as kings. We read in the Old Testament of oil dripping down the beard of priests. We see anointing in priests and kings. And as we enter into the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we read that God gives us this title, a chosen nation, a royal priesthood. A holy nation, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. My friends, at this table, when you walk through that door, Jesus Almighty is preparing a table. He is preparing you to be all that you need to be. And he is coronating you as the King of Kings. He's making you a royal nation, a royal priesthood. This is a table of great preparation. This is a table of great coronation. This is also a table where there's great celebration. There is great celebration at this table. There's a cup that is overflowing. The blessings of God are overflowing at this table. There is abundance. You know, I think of the first miracle that Jesus did, turning water into wine. It was a celebration event. You know, the psalmist writes this psalm. David has been in the valley. He'd had victories and now he's at this table and he's celebrating his victory. We are celebrating what Christ did on the cross. This is a table of great celebration. But lastly, the Christian life is not simply about walking through doors, as it is a spectacular moment. It's not only about walking through doors, though. It's not only about dining at tables where there's preparation, celebration, and coronation. But the Christian life is largely a battlefield. There are doors to walk through. There are tables to dine at. But there is a war to fight. There is a battle to fight. And the battle is real. You know, even at this table, in Psalm 23, verse 5, there is an enemy. There is an enemy. Three things about this battle. Firstly, you need to know your enemy. Know your enemy. There, God invites you to walk through a door. But even at the door, there is an enemy. Even at the door, there is an enemy. Genesis 4, verse 7, when God speaks to Cain, he says, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must overrule it. Sin is at the door. We have to walk through the door, but sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must overrule it. You must know that your enemy is sin. Even at the table, there is an enemy. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, that enemy is not seated by your side feasting with you. He is opposite you. He is in the room. He's not feasting at the table, but the enemy is in the room. And you need to be aware. The enemy is real. Every day, there are doors to walk through. Choices to make. Temptations to overcome, addictions to break free from. Every day there is a challenge. There is an enemy, and that enemy is real. You know, in the story Narnia, when the children walk through that door, they meet Mr. and Mrs. Thomas. And then they meet Thomas, and then they meet the Beaver, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, the cute couple. And Mr. and Mrs. Beaver tell the children about the prophecy of Narnia, which runs something like this. I had to memorize it. When the two sons of Adam and when the two daughters of Eve look a bit perplexed, when the two sons of Adam and when the two daughters of Eve sit on the four thrones of Kerparawel, all Narnia will be put to right. You know, at that table, God has a throne for you. And God wants to put things right in your world. God wants to put things right in your world. The children, they sit on the four thrones of Kerparawel, but before they do that, there's a spectacular battle that is waged. And in the Christian life, there is a constant battle. Know your enemy in the battle. But not only know your enemy in the battle, but know your weaponry. Know your weaponry. I'd just like to talk to you about one critical weapon. You know, not only did the children walk through a door in a closet, but who has seen the movie War Room? There's two ladies, Miss Clara, the elder lady, and Elizabeth, the younger lady. They walk through a closet door. And they make that room in that closet their war room. It's their prayer room. It's here where they bend their knee. They meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Elizabeth is able to transform her life. She restores her relationship with her husband. She restores her relationship with her daughter. And most of all, she restores her relationship with God. Every prayer is a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down. We want to see Jesus lifted up, a banner that flies across this land. Know your enemy. In the battlefield. Know your weaponry, the power of prayer. And lastly, know your victor, Jesus Christ. Amen. Know your victor, Jesus Christ. You know, the victory that Jesus had on Calvary, that victory is a victory that overflows. In that cup that overflows on the table, that victory is still overflowing in that cup. God wants to give you victory in your life this morning. You know, it's the same God who parted the waters, the Red Sea. The same God who brought the walls of Jericho. He wants to bring your walls down. He wants to part your waters. The same God that slayed Goliath, that God wants to slay your Goliaths this morning. The same God that shut the mouths of the lions for Daniel, that same God, he wants to shut the mouths of your enemies. God wants to give you victory this morning. Amen. God wants to give you victory this morning. I'd like to close, but I'd like to create a moment and an opportunity for God to perfect his work and his will. You know, I'm just going to quickly give the altar call, and then we can cut it and people can be ministered to. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't ever walked through that door, the door that opens to faith, the door that leads to pastures, the door that is narrow, I invite you to walk through that door, because it is only the spectacular name of Jesus that can save us. I'd also like to give you an invitation, if you want, to encounter the God who gives you victory in the battlefield. If you want victory in the battlefield, I'd encourage you to come forward and to be ministered to. God bless you.